Okay, let's start. Joshua, open in prayer for us. Amen, amen. Okay, I left off at verse 26 and 27 last week, so I'm going to move on. We'll pick up the last part of chapter 8, and this is how I've outlined it, and I'll try to go through it for you tonight. But one thing I wanted to say, if you look at verse 26, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so we saw how the Holy Ghost intercedes for us, and that's a blessing, right? Sometimes you don't know what to pray for, and the Holy Ghost prays for. But listen, we got another intercessor. Let's look up Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. We have two intercessors, guys. You know who the second one is? Let's read it. I don't know about you, but that blessed my heart. I got the Holy Ghost inside of me. I have Jesus Christ at the right hand of the throne of God. The Holy Ghost is making intercession, and the Lord Jesus, I ought to be able to get something answered somewhere along the line and get some help when I need help, right? Okay, so we'll pick up with chapter 8 and verse 28 through 30. Great memory verse 28. It really will help you. And so nothing can separate us. The first part we'll look at, the first two verses, is predestined. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Great promise, but it is a conditional promise. Let me do this. Caleb, would you look up John 14:21? And Miss Joy, would you look up 1 John 2:15? And Josh, look up James 4:4. And so verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. That's sort of a controversial verse, so we'll look at it. Go ahead, Caleb. Okay, here's an important thing for the Christian. The world puts the word love out like it's some kind of mystical, steamy emotion. Okay, love is not an emotion. Love is obedience. Do you understand? The Bible says, if you love me, what will you do? Keep my commandments. Pete, people say they fall out of love. That's not what you do. You just stop obeying the word. You with me? If you love your wife, if you love your husband, you'll be faithful to them. Right? You'll be benevolent. You'll want them to be happy. Okay, 1 John, Miss Joy.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in
it. Okay, what does the Lord tell us saved people? Love not the world. How much plainer can you get? Go ahead, Miss Joy.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man
okay, look at me. What does that mean, the love of the Father is not in me? You don't. Is that what the Bible says? You don't love the Father if you love the world. Josh. Those are pretty plain verses, guys. You know, it's not a gray area. If you love the world, you don't love the Father. If you love the world, you're at enmity with God. Are you with me? So what that does, that cancels out the promise of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to him, to who? Those that love God. Amen. To them who are the called, what's it talking about called? Kev, never mind. Ben, look up 2 Timothy 1:9. That's all right, go ahead and finish dinner. Go ahead, Ben. Okay, do you see the reference I gave you there? The called is talking about salvation, okay? To them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, here's my question. What's his purpose? Okay, let's go down to verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to go to heaven or go to hell? No. To predestinate what? To be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Guys, you and I, as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, we should be showing the world the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should be more like Christ. I'll show you a verse in Corinthians. It's like looking into a mirror at yourself, but as the Holy Ghost is working in you and working through you, he is changing you into the image of the Son of God. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit, what's the fruit of the Spirit? It's the qualities of God Almighty. It's the qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he wants is he wants that naturally came out of the Lord as he was on this earth. And what we need to do is die to that sinful flesh, yield to the Holy Ghost, walk in the Spirit, and those qualities will be shown forth in us. Just as apple trees produce apples, the Holy Ghost ruling and reigning in our life will produce that. Did you ever have somebody that you didn't love? I didn't say didn't like, didn't love. I have. In 49 years being saved, I have. And you know what the Lord dealt with me about? That's not right. That is a sin. Well, I had a problem. So what I did is I spent a lot of time praying that the Holy Ghost would shed the love of God abroad in my heart for that person. And I'll tell you what was a breakthrough for me. The person that I didn't love was a Christian. That's one of God's children. God says, you want me to love you, but you're not going to love another one of my children. Now listen, there's a big difference between loving and liking somebody. Nowhere in the Bible am I told that I have to like everybody. But if I love somebody, I won't steal from them, I won't lie about them, I won't talk behind their backs. You with me? I won't hurt them. If I don't like them, I'll just leave them alone. We, sometimes with our tongues, we run people into the ground, okay, because we don't like them. That is not Christian. What group of people was the Lord the hardest on? The Pharisees. Because they were what? Lying hypocrites. So since the Lord did not like lying hypocrites, I feel like I cannot like lying hypocrites. You know, people who profess one thing and turn around and do something else. Church is full of them. Walmart's full of them. Workplaces are full of them, right? What I want to do is I don't want to be a hypocrite. As I get older, what I like to do is say less and listen more. Okay, so according to the Bible, the purpose of God is to conform us to the image of his Son. Are you sure that's going to happen to you? Well, according to the scriptures, what happens when you get raptured? You get a new body in Jesus Christ. Now, if we die and are resurrected, we'll wait for the rapture and we'll get that new body. So anyway, according to the scriptures, okay, love not the world, love of the Father, you don't have it, you're at enmity with God. That misdirected love cancels out the conditional promise of all things working together for good. The called, you're talking about sanctification, and you're talking about salvation. What is it? To be conformed. Let's see. Derek, would you look up 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24? And Daniel, would you look up Titus 1, 2, please? The purpose of God is to conform us to His image. He wants to do a lot of the work down here in this life in us. And then eventually we'll get to physical. Go ahead, Derek. Do you see what he's talking about? That sanctification is the Holy Ghost working in us to make us what? Like Christ, conform to the image of Christ. Go ahead, Daniel. Okay, verse number 29. For whom he did what? Do you know, if you're studying theology, do you know what that's called? God's quality of knowing everything? Tim? Omniscience. He knows everything, okay? Before I was born, did God know I was going to get saved? He did. Okay, not because He was going to give me irresistible grace, just that you and this is a hard thing to understand. God is not bound by time. He's eternal, okay? We're bound by time. You can't get into tomorrow. There is no time machine, okay? You're just going to have to go to sleep tonight, wake up, and then it'll be tomorrow. Okay, but God is not bound, and He knows everything. So the book says, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. I think it'd be good for all of us to go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. But we all, talking about us saved people, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, think mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I probably said this in a message one time. I went and heard Dr. Ruckman preach one time, and he preached out of this verse, and he did a chalk talk. And in his chalk talk, he had this guy, and he's just, you know, one of us, and he's standing in front of a full-length mirror. Are you paying attention, Brian? What are you doing? Brian, you paying attention? Okay. And what he did is he had the guy there standing there, and he's preaching about the Holy Ghost sanctifying us, and then the image in the mirror is not his image, but it's the Lord. Do you see the picture I'm trying to draw for you? The Holy Ghost's work in your life and my life is to sanctify us, set us apart, yes, but make us in the image of His Son. Make sense? And then eventually, we'll get raptured and get a new body. So, predestinated to be conformed, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. There's something very specific about that verse. Did you pick it out? It's right in there. All of those words were what? Past tense. Wait a minute. Is it past tense in our life? Not yet. But in the eyes of God, When he says something's going to be done, he accounts it as already done. I think that's pretty good, huh? So this predestinate is only to the saved. I'm going to give you a couple verses that you can run down. Ephesians 1, 5 and 11. And then 2 Thessalonians 2, 14. So I got Ephesians 1, 5 and 11, 2 Thessalonians 2, 14, and then 1 John 3, 5. And then the image, okay? You can go to 1 Corinthians 15. We just read 2 Corinthians 3 and see that we're going to get that new body. The firstborn, our Lord was the firstborn of the Holy Ghost, Luke 1, 35. And then we are brethren because we're the sons of God by the new birth. And then verse 30, it's all past tense. So in the eyes of God, it's done. Now verses 31 through 34, I labeled as secure. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him how also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. You know what God does? When God starts something, he always finishes something, okay? That would be a good trait for you and I to have. If we're going to start something, we should finish it, and certainly our Christian life. So it says in verse 31, for us. Here's your homework assignment. Okay, you guys, I want you to get me a message on the phrase for us. And then you ladies, I want you to do a ladies' Bible study on for us. Now, there's several right here in our chapter, but you're allowed to go and search the scriptures. Okay, Brother Daniel, would you look up Jeremiah 1:19? Hey, guys, if God's for us, what else do we need? We really don't need anything else, but God gives us a whole lot. Okay, despite all the enemies that we have that are against us, in Christ we can be victorious. And you know what the Lord will do? He will deliver us. Pete, look up 1 John 4:4 for me. The phrase eternal security is not in the Bible as eternal security, but eternal security is throughout the New Testament doctrine, okay? Go ahead, Jeremiah 1:19. So whatever enemies that we have that come against us, if we're doing right for God, they're never going to defeat us because we're in Christ and he's for us. Okay, you all know that I had a bad past and I hung around with a bad crowd and I'd get into trouble sometimes, and I was always the smallest guy, the littlest guy. And I mean, when you're small, you don't want to get into fist fights and stuff. But the friends that I had, they sort of enjoyed getting into fights. And I never found any fun in stopping fists with my face, okay? And so what they would do is they would egg me on to get somebody angry, and then they'd step in and fight with them. Now, it didn't work out that way all the time, but... which I told them I wasn't doing it anymore, but they were bigger than me. So, but that's what we got. We've got the Lord that will step in for us. Are y'all with me? That's a great, great thing that we have. So, John 4:4, Pete. You know what people want to do that believe you can lose your salvation? They want to make salvation an act of man. Salvation is not an act of man. Salvation is all an act of God. Regeneration is God doing it. Now, we make the choice. Kev, look up Ecclesiastes 3:14 for me. This is a great verse, Ecclesiastes 3:14. The new generation is an act of God. It's permanent. Now, I personally, there's a lot of people I've run across that have trouble thinking they can lose their salvation because, you know, they've backslid or done this or done that. But listen, once you're born again of incorruptible seed, you can't get unborn again from incorruptible seed. But Ecclesiastes 3:14 is a great verse. Go ahead, Kev. Buddy, I'm saved. I am saved forever. You said, why? Because God did it. I didn't do it. God did it. Listen, the only thing I did for salvation was turn to the Lord. Do you understand that? He put the Word of God in my heart. He worked godly repentance in my heart. He gave me the Word of God. He gave me the faith to call on the Lord from the Word of God. And he did everything else. He paid for my sins. He came after me. He dealt with me. He got the witness to me. And that's true for all of you that are saved. You didn't do anything to get saved, but call out on the Lord and let God work repentance in your heart. It's the Lord. So, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Oh, what a blessing. Listen, if he did all that for us to save us, why would he hold anything back from us now, guys? I mean, if it's for our benefit. Now, if you're greedy and say, you know, well, I want $1 million and I want that. What? He said he'd promised to provide your what? Your need. And then he said to be content with food and raiment. And all of us have way more than food or raiment. So I'd say he's been awful good to us, wouldn't you? So verse number 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's a great... Guys, when you have God for you, you're in a great spot. And it doesn't matter what spot you're in, he's for you. We can get as backslid as the prodigal, and the Father still loves us just as he loved us the day he saved us. He will help us get out of that mess. He'll help us get out. He will help us through whatever, no matter what age you are, no matter what stage of life you're going through, no matter what the circumstances of life that you're going through, the Lord will take care of you. Okay, so then we'll see that my third aspect here is being inseparable, starting in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And the answer to all of them is what? No. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We might be killed, but we're not separated. Right? All the martyrs were killed, but they weren't separated. They woke up in heaven with the Lord. All the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Now, that's the key to that verse, guys, through him that loved us. Tim, look up Philippians 4:13. Through him. It's important that we understand through him. I can't do it myself. I don't have enough character. I don't have enough gumption. There's some things I can only do through him. Go ahead, Tim.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
See how you link the scriptures together? You want to be more than a conqueror? It has to be through him. Not your smarts, not your abilities, but through him. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, the judgments are to come, the principalities, that's Satan's host and his very organized army, nor power, nor things present, you got sin, you got the devil, you got yourself, you got the world, nor things to come, the judgments that are coming. Verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pretty good promise there. Okay, now when we get to Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, I'm going to put it this way, okay? They're dispensational. Do you all know what a parenthetical statement is? Somebody's going along writing something, talking to you about something, and then they go off track and give you some more information and then close the parentheses and goes on. The book of Romans is a great doctrinal book for Christians, born-again Christians in the New Testament. So the first eight chapters that we looked at, they're doctrinal chapters. These nine, chapters 9, 10, and 11, okay, are dispensational. What they're going to reveal to us is Israel's selection, their rejection, and the final acceptance by the Lord. You know that we right now are in the dispensation of grace or the dispensation of the church, whichever one you want to call it. God is not dealing with the Jews specifically. Does God still deal with Jews nowadays? How, Daniel? They have to get saved. God will deal with a Jew, but how will we deal with them? You must be born again. Just because you're a Jew, you are not going to heaven. The Jewish lineage never made it that any Jew could get to heaven just because they were a Jew. But of course, the Jews did believe that. And so they still need to be saved. But God is not dealing with the Jews now. Now listen, a lot of people teach that God's done with the Jews and all the promises that the Old Testament has for the Jews that were not fulfilled, that's for the church. That's not true. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Israel is the bride of God and the Son of God, according to the Old Testament. They're two different entities, and God is not finished. The Lord's going to take the church out at the rapture, and then God's going to turn his attention back to the Jewish nation. Jewish nation is a very special nation. She's been set aside, but at that time, he will focus back on Israel, and we'll look at that again. Okay, so look at the first five verses of chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Okay. Let's start in verse number 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience. Okay, does everybody have a conscience? Should everybody let their conscience be their guide? No. You can't trust your conscience. Okay? Let me see here. Your conscience is unreliable. According to the Bible, your conscience can be defiled and your conscience can be seared. But also the Bible teaches that your conscience could be pure when guided by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. So you just can't rely on that. And then he says, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He is burdened for the nation of Israel. You understand that God will put different burdens on different people's hearts, right? I can remember in Newport, Cliff Taylor, I had a missionary from New Guinea come by, and afterwards he was standing at the guy's table, and I was just looking there, and his tears, nobody was talking or anything, and tears welled up in his eyes, and they were running down his cheek. And I looked at him, and the Lord sort of nudged me, and I said, Cliff, he says, is the Lord dealing with you? He goes, I think he is. He said, I really think the Lord's calling me to be a missionary to New Guinea. And that's what he did. What he did is he put a burden on him, and then he called him, okay? Paul has a great burden and heaviness. You Claires, you guys have a great burden and heaviness for your grandfather. Just talking to you, and all the times that you can see the burden and the care that you have. That's how Paul was. Now, Paul is not wishing that he could go to hell, okay? But he is talking about the extent of the burden he has for these people. You have to admit that God especially blessed Israel like no other nation, not even America. And God has blessed America. And that was over a 1,500-year period that God did that. And what happened? Israel misses the whole point of why God was so good to them. They miss everything that's important. They miss that he's the Messiah. They miss that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You with me? They turned it into religion. And so he has a sense of anguish and burden. Amos 3:2. Hey, guys, really, you study that Old Testament. The Gentiles are outside of God's special blessings. Any Gentile who got blessed, they usually hooked up somewhere with the nation of Israel. Like Uriah, I preached on Uriah. I love Uriah. I think he's a man of character. But he was not Jewish. He was what? He's a Hittite. He's a Gentile like you and I. But because he got in with Israel, he got blessed of God. God blessed that nation, and we're going to see all the things that he did. You know what Israel was as far as a government? They were a theocracy. What's a theocracy, Tim? God rules and reigns. But what did the Jews say? I don't want God. I don't want God to be my king. I want Saul to be my king. Man, so smart, isn't he? Go ahead, Amos 3:2.
You only have I known for all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities.
Go back and read it again. Go a little slower for me, Josh, and a little louder.
You only have I known of all the families of the earth.
You only have I known of all the families of... How'd the Jews get started? One man and one lady. Abraham and Sarah, as the birth of a nation. Okay, let's do this. Tim, would you look up 1 Samuel 8:7? And Ben, would you look up 1 Samuel 12:12? A theocracy is God governing. And then we'll look at the privileges that the Israel had. That's my first point in chapter 9 under Israel being chosen is the privileges. Verses 1 through 5. Go ahead, Tim.
And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not go with them.
You with me? Go ahead, Ben. What they want to be like, all the other nations, right? Don't a lot of saved people have that problem today? And I'm not just talking about the rulers, but everything that the world does, they want to copy the world. I don't understand that a little bit. Okay, let's do this. So he says, I could wish that myself were accursed. In 1 Corinthians 16:27, it says anathema. That's a curse, like damned to hell, from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Verse 4, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption? Okay. What's the adoption about? It's getting in the family, okay? And the glory. Derek, Exodus 16:11. the glory, the covenants. Can you name me some covenants in the Bible? Who God made covenants with? Abraham. Go ahead, Daniel. Is that who you're going to say? Tim?
Jacob.
I have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Moses. Yep. Did you get Exodus 16:11, Derek?
It just says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,"
verse 10. Those Jews saw some great things, didn't they? You start with the plagues, the Red Sea, you know, the water out of the rock, Moses up in Mount Sinai. I mean, just they saw the glory of the Lord. The covenants and the giving of the law, Moses, and the service of God and the promises. So when you talk about the service of God, that includes the priesthood, the temple, the Levitical offerings, sacrifices, rituals, feasts, promises, the heirs of the promises. Let's do this. Daniel, Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. Brother Daniel, Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37. Talked about the fathers in verse 5. Of course, that's the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, Hebrews 11.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should enter, received word and inheritance, obeyed it, he went out not knowing what he would do. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for to look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Okay, did you catch that? The heirs of promise, and that's the beginning of the Jewish nation. Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37.
Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all they have done, saith the Lord.
That's a special nation, man. The Lord gets angry with them, but he's never forsaken them. He's never turned them over, you know. He loves them. And so, verse number 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. The nation of Israel, all those things were privileges that God gave Israel, and also Israel is the channel that the Messiah came through. He came through the Jewish nation. The Lord Jesus Christ was Jewish. Remember in John 4:4, she said, the Lord said what? Salvation is of the Jews. And then Romans 1:16, it said to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. And so they had many, many privileges, and yet they missed it all. Brian, look up Matthew 27:25, and we'll pick up in verse 6. Verses 6 through 13 is Israel's children. Go ahead. Matthew 27:25. That's a pretty stupid statement, don't you think? And then in the book Acts, what did they say? You're telling us we're guilty of this man's blood. Well, you're the ones who said, let his blood be on us. What I'm getting at is, irregardless of their rebellion, turning, they didn't want God to rule over them, God is faithful, and they are his chosen people. And I mean today. when you and I get to the millennium, we are going to be shocked at what the Middle East looks like after God has finished taking care of those Arabs and giving the Jews their land again. It's a very large parcel that God gave Abraham. That land, I don't care what any... Guys, one of the tricks of the devil is to try to get us off course. And there is tons and tons of issues in America and around the world. And you can take anyone that you want and you can go chasing after it. But that is not why we're here. We're here to preach the gospel that people would get saved and then teach the word of God so they could be disciples and they could live for God. We can't lose focus on the important thing, and that's living for Christ. As I have gotten older, I read less of the whole news article. I'll read the headlines and I'll start, but then I'm thinking, God in heaven, I don't need this information. Because it's depressing sometimes. What they are doing. And then you say, well, you know, I'm going to put... Brother Dan brought up something very good yesterday. All those liberals are dumping their money into these political campaigns to get these liberal donkeys in office, right? A lot of the conservatives, they don't dump their money. You and I, we're not dumping our money in a political party. We're dumping our money in God's work, right? And a light bulb just went. I said, yeah, those liberals got all kinds of money to do what they want to do because you got all the, what are they going to do with their money? They're not putting it in God's work. But I hear that the interest rate that we're earning is way better than the interest rate that they're earning. Okay, so verse number 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Never does. He always, what does God say back in Isaiah? I can't quote it. Does anybody know it exactly? The word of God. Shall not return unto me void, right? Okay, listen to me. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. Who said, my word shall not return unto me void? God said it. And yet sometimes we will pray what? Lord, please don't let your word return void. Why do we pray that? He said it wouldn't. Do you follow me? And look, I'm not picking on anybody. I don't know if you guys prayed that. And I'm sure in the past I probably prayed it. But you read the book, and if God says something, guess what? That's what's going to happen. Anybody you've ever witnessed to, anybody that you've ever invited to church that sat in church and heard preaching, listen to me. They can't get away from the word of God that they hear. I myself, when my boys were out there and got out of church, I would pray. And I would pray, Lord, I pray today, and I would call today's date. I say, I'm asking the Holy Ghost to come up alongside my son. And I'm asking you to take the mighty hammer of the Word of God, and I'm asking you to smash their hard, carnal, worldly heart. And I'm asking you to bring them to themselves in that far country. I think that's pretty scriptural, to be honest with you. All I'm doing is asking God to do what he said he would do with his book. A mighty hammer. A hammer can do a lot of damage. Just give Titus one and say, have fun, Titus, in the living room. But that's the word of God. Okay? So, verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Now here, I'm probably not going to have enough time to go through all this. We all need to go to the book of Galatians. Let me finish reading this, then we'll go to Galatians. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Do you understand what that's talking about? Just because they're Jews doesn't make them saved, right? But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Okay, let's go to Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verse 22. Galatians 4, 22. The Bible says this, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid." What was her name? "The other by a free woman." What was her name? "But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." You see the difference there? "Which things are an allegory." An allegory is a figurative discourse, like a parable. It's a figurative description of real facts. "For which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, that thou travailest not." This is a quote from Isaiah 54, by the way. "That thou travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." So all spiritual Israel is not fleshly Israel, okay? Just being a Jew doesn't guarantee. We're in Galatians. Go to chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. It says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed," that's Deuteronomy 21, "cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." See, we are sons of Abraham spiritually. Isaac was Abraham's physical seed. Jesus Christ is Abraham's spiritual seed, and that's where salvation comes through for us. We're in chapter 3 of Galatians. Look at verse 16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Verse 18. "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." So we are children of the seed of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? Okay, so once again, I'm out of time. We're going to see chapters 9, 10, and 11, dispensational, talking about the nation of Israel, the sovereignty of God, and what he did with Israel. Does everybody understand what sovereign means? Are you sovereign, Tim? Okay, none of us are. Take oxygen away from us, and what do? Die. God is sovereign. God doesn't need anybody. God doesn't need anything. God doesn't depend on anybody. God can do whatever he wants to do because he's holy, he's righteous, he's almighty. Let me ask you something. If God wanted to, could he not have said, okay, the blood of bulls and goats, that's good enough to save you? Because he's God, he could have said that. But that would have gone against his holy, righteous nature. So he couldn't do it because he can't go against himself. So sovereign, He decides to pick out Israel and start with Abraham. Why? Because he's God and he can do whatever he wants to do. One of the greatest things that God has done for mankind is give him a free will. We are not robots. And then because he loved us so, he sent a son for us. So that's where we're at. Any quick questions? Okay, we'll pick up next week at chapter 9 and verse 9. Daniel, would you pray for us, please? Amen.
Bless Pastor Keenan for his time and study, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for the help of the study that you've been to me, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you continue to use your word to work in our lives, Lord, to help us just be more like your son, Father. We want to tell you that we love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hey, I appreciate y'all coming and your attention. But really, sometimes when you go back and go over your notes and run the verses that I give you, I do it a little quickly because of time. But the Lord will help you if you got any questions about that stuff, okay? God bless you. Take a little break. Oh, you need this. Thanks, buddy.